Good morning. If you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, we are, as I've been preaching, I've been taking us through the book of James, and today we're to chapter 5, and I'm going to be preaching next week also as PD will be finishing up his vacation. And then in August, and we'll completely have James completely gone through, all the way through, from the beginning to the end. And so, looking forward to sharing with you today from James chapter 5. And so, want to read the passage first, and then we'll kind of jump in and talk a little bit about, I'm going to tie in my last message, which was probably a little over a month ago, because there's a lot of similarities, but it kind of hits a whole different subject for us, and it's a lot to do with things that we're investing in. And so let's go ahead and read the passage in James chapter 5. It says this: "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasures in the last day. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you." Some of you are like, woo, there is a lot going on in there. But hopefully today, as we look at James, because I believe that James is a very practical book, but what James is doing, he's coming out strong because there are some people taking advantage of other people. And when that happens, there should be some strength in the warnings. And so today, we're looking at the warnings of luxury without love, because there could be times where we fall into that same trap. And so if you jump back to chapter 4, in the very first two words that are in verse 17, it uses the same phrase where it says, "Come now, you who say." And when we come to verse 5, he's using the exact same words where it says, "Come now." Okay, I'm reading the ESV version. Yours might say something a little bit different depending on what version you have or even what was on the screen. And so the idea here is, listen up, get this, pay attention. Some of you as parents, there are times where you're trying to get your kids' attention and you're like, "Listen up, come here. I'm really trying to get your attention. What I'm saying to you is very important." And so that's what James is saying here. So this passage here, because it's James, and I think I've told you this before, but James sometimes is kind of like in your face. He kind of just lays it out, and he kind of says, this is the way it is. And so this passage is one of those passages that kind of just lays it out. It's kind of one of the strongest rebukes in the New Testament against people who use or misuse wealth and power. James is not condemning riches in themselves at all. If the Lord has blessed you, and we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes, praise the Lord. So thankful. And even as I look at my life, I mean, the Lord has just blessed me. But the unrighteous accumulation and the use of wealth at the expense of other people is what James is getting after here. And so today, I'm going to talk about some things that kind of talk about our riches. And I kind of want to lay out here this morning. So I'm going to ask you the question, are you rich? You don't have to answer out loud because we don't want people to know how much money you have. But are you rich? I don't know how you would answer that question, but I'm going to lay out a scenario for you. P. Pew Research Center states it this way. On a global scale, the vast majority of Americans are either upper middle income or high income. And many Americans who are classified as poor by the U.S. government would be middle income globally, according to this Pew Research. Now, the numbers that I'm giving you are a little bit older. This is actually from 2011, but I think if we were to look at it even now, we would find that it's very similar or even higher. So the analysis that they took to kind of come up with that information is they looked at 111 countries, which account for 88% of the global population. We divide people into five different groups: people who are poor, living on $2 or less a day, and this is on based on a family of four, so $2 times four people times how many days in a year would kind of figure out what their income is. So there are poor people, $2 or less. Low income would be $2.01 to $10. Middle income is $10 and 1 cent to $20. Upper middle income is $20.01 to $50. And high income is those $50 or more a day. So the global middle income range translates to an annual income of $14,600 to $29,200 for a family of four. Most of us would look at that and say, yeah, I don't think I could live on that here in this area. And so the U.S. really stands head and shoulders above the rest of the world. More than half, 50%, 56% of Americans are high income earners by global standards, living on more than $50 a day. Another 32% were upper middle income. In other words, almost 9 in 10 Americans has a standard of living that was above the global middle income standard. Only 7% of people in the U.S. were middle income, and 3% were low income, and 2% were poor. So what am I saying to us? We're rich. We're rich. Who said that? We're rich. Oh, it's Barry. We're rich. If you were to take what we make here, so I think this passage here is really relevant to us. God has blessed us. We live in a country that has been blessed financially. So what are we going to do with that? Much of us have more than we need, and we're very blessed with materially with food, clothing, and shelter. Even yesterday, we had some family over to our house because a lot of our family's in from Ohio. And then also we have some family in the area. So we had 22 people. I went to the grocery store and I was able to buy everything that I needed there. I got hamburgers. Actually, that was for the cookout the day before. Yesterday we had barbecue sandwich. And everyone that came brought food, and they blessed us with food. I mean, we had food. We were blessed. We had a house with a shelter over our head because it was a little hot. So sometimes we wanted to go in the air condition. Sometimes we wanted to go outside. And as we went outside, we could sit under our canopy that we set up. And then we could sit in our reclining chairs. You know those ones that rock now, the chairs? Or you could even sit in a gravity chair if you wanted to, like, be really comfortable and just put your feet back, because we're a blessed people. So I want to ask you today, how do you use your money? And how do you treat others with the money that God has given you? John MacArthur gives us this quote. He says, Nothing more clearly reveals the state of a person's heart than his or her view of money and material possessions. Many who profess faith in Christ invalidate their claim to genuine saving faith through their luxurious, indulgent, materialistic lifestyle, a clear indication that you serve wealth and not God. See, that's the question for us today as we come to this passage. Are we using what God has given us to help and love people? We talk about here that we are the great family of Oakwood, and part of being family is helping each other, serving one another, loving one another. And one of the things that God has told us in his word is that we're to love God and love people. And so as the Lord has blessed us in a way financially, what can you do to bless other people? You know, as we come to this passage today, we could look at this as very negative. And he has to address, because some of what was going on here was wrong. But today I want to approach this from a standpoint of, like, what can we do as a church, as individuals, as God has blessed us to take that in turn and to bless other people? It's fun to bless people. One of the things that I'm really excited about that I've never seen at any other church here is our Oakwood Cares Fund. And we give to that once a year. And you guys are sacrificial. The other day, we had a guy show up here. And he had lost his job. And he was asking for a gift card. And because of your giving, you know what we were able to do? We turned him away. Just kidding. No, we were like, you have a need? Well, our church just happens to help with that. And you guys don't get to hear all the stories, but Oakwood helps a lot of people. And I want to encourage you, yes, we do that as a church, but what can you do on an individual basis as to how the Lord has blessed you? And many of you do give to Oakwood Cares, and many of you do probably do things to help people on a regular basis and use the riches and the wealth that God has given you for his glory. And that is awesome. So you can live out your faith by the way that you steward your finances. That word steward is a biblical word, because it's basically meaning like a manager. Like, God has given you things, cars, houses, money, clothes, and you can take those things, and food, and you can take those things and bless other people. So this morning, is your finances driving you? Or are you managing your finances in a way that you have freedom to be able to bless other people? See, in our culture, it's American culture, we can go out and we can run up credit cards. We can buy cars that maybe are like maybe too expensive for us to buy. Maybe we could have bought something a little bit cheaper. I'm just giving you ideas. These are just practical ideas, and I'm not stepping on your toes. This is between you and God, and I want you to figure out how you can best steward your finances through the Lord so that you can turn around and you have freedom to bless other people. Sometimes we can get so maxed out in our financial situation, even in America, being rich people, that we don't have any money left and there's no opportunity to help other people. At times at our church, we offer a class that kind of helps you to kind of work through that class. Ed, are you in here? Yeah, what's the class called? I can't remember right off my head. Financial Peace. And so if you are in financial struggles because of maybe decisions and things that you made and you don't have the freedom to turn around and bless people, I would encourage you to take that course, because it kind of really helps you to say, hey, I'm going to get serious about this so that I can have freedom to turn around and bless people. See, oftentimes money talks. We can look at our credit card statements, we can look at our bank accounts, and we can often see what's important to us. You know, like me and my wife, because there's just the two of us, if you were to look at my bank account statements, you'd probably see a lot of eating out. And so I'm just being honest. As I've looked at this message today, I'm like, you know what? Instead of going out, this is just me. I'm not talking about you. Instead of going out to eat and spending $20 to $50, maybe I could do that a little less so that I could be a blessing to people. See, even in my heart and mind, as I've been thinking about this, I've been thinking about myself, like, Lord, what can I do to be a better steward, a better investor, not just in the here and now, but in the future? Do you guys remember when I talked from James chapter 4, where it talks about our life is a vapor and it appears for a while and then it disappears? Money can be the same way. Did I get you wet? Try harder. Even in my life, I'll tell you a couple stories that have happened recently. My oldest son calls me the other day and he goes, Dad, I made a really bad adult decision. He said, we had cash and we went and we bought this car, this van that they wanted, and he thought it was a good buy. And come to find out 8 months later, as he was going to the car, as he was going to the tire store to put new tires on the car, the mechanic said, come out here with me. And he goes out there and he looks under the car and he says, see this right here and see this right here? Your subframe is all rusted out. And he said, you don't even know if you should drive this home. And my son was like, well, that was, I mean, it was $4,000, which doesn't get you a lot of car today, but it was like, I had saved cash. I wanted to do that so we didn't have a car payment or whatever. And now he's like, we spent our money on that car and now it's a pile of junk. And sometimes those things happen. And this passage here talks about those things because our big idea, I forgot that, be careful of the love of money, greed, that can come into our hearts and our mind, saying, I want that, or I need that, or, this is going to benefit me. And there is sometimes where we definitely need it to benefit us, but also consider with your finances, like, how can I benefit other people? How can I serve and love and care for other people? And so the first warning here is don't put your trust in financial or material things. My son, when he called, I was like, ugh. Because as a dad, I'm like, ugh. I know he like really sacrificed for that, and they're trying to like, you know, really do their best, and he paid cash for this, and then he found out, you know, what happened, and so. But it was interesting. So in the last, this probably happened like 1 or 2 months ago. And so since then, like his church came through and said, hey, we'd be willing to help you. And he's like, yes, praise the Lord. And he had like some things that he said, well, I'm going to sell those. They're things that I wanted for a long time, but they're things that I can let go so that I can buy a car that I can afford and pay cash for it. And so he did all of this, and yesterday they bought a new van when he pretty much was out of money. But it was just awesome to see the Lord provide for him and trust, because he was like, Dad, I made an adult decision. Well, I mean, he did the best he could. I mean, he's not a mechanic, you know? He didn't know to look under there, but you know what he learned on this next van? He took it to the mechanics and said, can you look at this before I buy this? So he learned, you know, to be a good steward of his money. Now he learned, like, I should take this next step to have somebody look this over before I buy this. In Hebrews, it says this, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You know what? As a child of God, God is going to take care of you. Now, it sure helps if you do your part and you go to work and you're responsible there and you try to save your money and you try to manage your money the best that you can for the glory of God. But God says, I'm going to help you. And so as we talked about last time, don't waste your life. Today we're talking about don't waste your money. Be wise. Don't put your trust in financial or material things. I'll tell you a few things that have happened to me recently. The other day, my wife comes here on a Saturday, and it was the ladies' sit and sip. And then she comes home and she goes, I smell gas. Do you smell gas on her car? And I was like, yeah, I smell gas, and there's a puddle right there. And so, sure enough, our gas tank was rusty. And so we had to put in a new gas tank because those things happen. And this passage tells us, in this passage, it says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming on you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence. And that day, the corrosion was evident that that gas tank needed to be replaced. Well, so some things happen like that, something that we put trust in. Not too long ago in January, I came home and my wife was like, I don't think our refrigerator is working. And I was like, well, that's nice. Nice refrigerator that they left us when we bought this house. So guess what we did? We bought a new refrigerator. In April, we had a plumbing leak. We walked into our dining room and I'm like, I don't think that hole was in the ceiling when we bought the house. And sure enough, the bathtub drain nut had come loose. That's all it was. And so now, in our dining room, it's a nice big hole where it needs to be patched up. Why? Because all these things, these riches that I have, they corrode. The nut comes loose. They leak. What else has happened? Oh, in February, my sump pump went out in the basement. These are just the things that I can remember. You know? So I'm like, why is that green light not on the electrical? Oh, the pipes must be frozen out there, which caused the sump pump to just continually run, which caused the sump pump to get really tired and just give up the ghost. So, just the other day, my garage door broke. Do you guys have these problems, or is it just me? Was it just the Lord preparing to give lots of examples for you today to show you how things break down in our culture? And the passage tells us that you could weep and mourn because you put so much stock in our riches. Have you ever been in a situation where something happens to you and you lose money in your retirement, or your house goes up in flames, or something happens, or your garage door breaks, or the gas tank breaks, or your sump pump, or whatever it is? And then you're like, oh no! This idea here in this passage talks about the fact that they wept and they mourned because they were so tied into their riches and their wealth and their luxury that when it was taken away, they literally, it was like a funeral had happened. Sometimes we can be like that when those things happen. And it can really test our faith. It can really test our allegiance, whether our allegiance and our faith and trust are in those financial things or even paying the bills for all of these things that break? Or is our trust in God to say, God, I know you're going to provide. You're my helper. See, the people here that James were talking about, they were relying on their riches because he said there was going to be a day where you're going to weep and you're going to howl because everything you worked for on this earth, you no longer have. And so today I want to ask you an important question as to whether you are living your life for the here and now, or are you living for eternity? Because James, as he kind of throws this in our face, and even the audience that he was writing to, he's saying, live for eternity. See, the warning is that we could live in luxury, and we totally forget about our love for God, and we totally forget about our love for people. You know, I remember my Sunday school teacher, and maybe I've given you this illustration before, but I remember my Sunday school teacher, and this is something that made an impact in me, and it was probably about sixth or seventh grade. And I remember him saying, hey guys, he was talking to us as kids, I just got a new car. Now when he said new, we'll put that in parentheses, because he was not a rich guy, but a new to him kind of car. And he said, tomorrow I'm gathering my family around this car, and we're going to dedicate it to the Lord. Have I told you this story? Okay. I was surprised that I haven't, because it made such an impact on me as a sixth grade kid that he, as a Sunday school teacher, was going to use his car because it's part of his wealth that God had given him for God's glory. I don't know what that meant. I don't know how he was going to use it for God's glory, but that was his attitude. And tomorrow, I'm going to stand before my wife and my kids, and we're going to pray over this car because this car is his. Get the point? That's part of his riches. And he's saying, God, this is yours. In Matthew 6, it says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This morning, where's your treasure? Because sometimes, living on this earth, our treasure can be all of our things. And we have to be careful. And that's what James is telling us here. Now, should we work? Yes. Should we provide for our families? Yes. Do we have a responsibility to manage our finances? Yes. All of those things. They're all biblical concepts that you would look at and you could read all throughout Scripture. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, it says this, for the love of money is the root of all evil. In my senior year class, I was taking an economics class, and there was a true-false question. And it said this, true or false? The love of money, or actually it says money is the root of all evil. That's what it said, true or false? Is that true or false? Money is the root of all evil. False. You know what the Bible says? The love of money is the root of all evil. I almost got tricked. And sometimes we can be tricked in our mindset. Money is not the root of all evil. It is when our passions and our greed come so strong that we love money more than ourselves. One opportunity that we present to you almost every week is we have the slide that says four ways to give. I want to encourage you, some of you are probably newer believers and you've never thought about giving to the Lord, but I would encourage you, if you are a child of God, that you would begin to consider the opportunity of, God, you have blessed me financially, and so I'm going to give back to you. And that's what enables us as a church to to support our missionaries. That's what enables us for our church to function, to pay bills and responsibilities that we have as a church and to minister to the community, so that when someone comes in and requests a need, we have that because you have been faithful in your giving. One of the things that I began to understand as I first got married and my wife and I were trying to figure out our finances, we didn't have much. I felt like we were really poor Americans. But it was something that we decided from the very beginning that we could not outgive God. And so as you read the scriptures, you see that spiritually, that if you sow sparingly, then you reap sparingly. And as God commands us in scripture and gives us the opportunity to use our finances in a way that would glorify God, I would really encourage you to think about your finances and say, how can I give to the Lord and his church? I say that this morning because we do have a lot of newer believers, and it may be something that you've maybe never heard before this morning. And so part of me instructing you from the word as we talk about finances is for you to begin to think, how can I give part of how the Lord has blessed me back to the Lord? And so, you know, James emphasizes here that our finances or our treasures are temporary. And so, moving along here, in verse 4, he says, don't steal from others. In Scripture, we have the ultimate example of someone who was a thief. But I want to read this passage here. In verse 4, again, it says, behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. How many of you have heard of the story of Zacchaeus? Okay. Do you know the song? Yeah. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Up in the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down. Yeah. You know what Jesus was telling him in Luke 19? Zacchaeus, you are a tax collector, and you have been frauding people by the way that you're carrying out your business, and I'm coming to your house today. You know what Zacchaeus did right then and there? Yes, Lord. I will pay back everyone that I frauded four times, and I will take care of business because what I did was absolutely wrong. I was stealing from other people to make himself rich. And that's the warning here that James gives. So we can love money so much that we're willing to take from people who did work for us, and we owe them money, but we've held back their wages because you wanted the riches rather than giving it to someone that you rightfully owed. Now, there's a lot of scenarios we can play out here because sometimes with debt and credit card, like owing people money and we're not paying back our debts, if you own a business and you have employees, then you're not paying them what you told them you're going to pay. Zacchaeus, as a tax collector, he was just like, I'll just round up the numbers a little bit, and then it will line my pockets. And it says in the passage in Luke chapter 9 that he was a rich guy. It's because of what he was doing. He was stealing from other people. There's lots of ramifications of all of this, but here's the deal. In your finances, don't be greedy to the point where you're stealing from other people. James is clear on that. Jesus was clear on that when he told Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house, because what they were doing was sinful and wrong. Warning number, I got to tell you this quote. Use money and love people. Don't love money and use people. I think it fits right with this passage. We can get to the point that we love money so much that we're willing to use people to pad our pockets even more. Warning number three, don't live for self-indulgence. In verse 5, it says this. I got to turn back over there. Verse 5, it says, you have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fatted your heart in the day of slaughter. See, we can see here from verse 5 that the love of money can cause us to live in self-luxury, self-indulgence, and we get so fat with ourselves and in our mindset that we can't think about anybody else than what I want and what I need. He uses the example here that the Jewish people would understand, because in this verse, in verse 5, he says, you have fattened your heart in the day of slaughter. Well, the Jews would have totally understood what this meant, because it was kind of a sarcastic illustration. It was vivid for these Jewish believers who had seen many fattened sheep and oxen meet their fate and sacrifice on the altar. So as these Jewish believers heard this, they were like, oh, yeah, I've seen that before. But we, as children of God, we can live so indulgent and so luxurious in our lives that our eyes are so clouded to the needs of other people, where God is saying, hey, open your eyes. Look at the opportunities to minister that are around you. So don't just live for self-indulgence. Number four, we're cruising along here now. Number four, don't be ruthless in acquiring wealth. As we look at this passage, I'm like, how can this be? And I've wrestled with this all week long. But in verse 6, it says, you have condemned and you have murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. You know what? Wealth can get us to the point. James is saying, literally, you could get so greedy that you're willing to condemn and murder someone who is totally righteous and has done nothing wrong to you, but you get to the point where you're so indulgent and self-pleasing and self-gratifying that you literally are hurting someone who's innocent right beside you. As I hear that, I'm like, wow. Lord, may I never be that greedy and selfish that I would murder someone. I mean, that sounds really strong, but that's what James is saying. He said, you have done this. You're willing to do this because of your greed. You know, today is not a very popular subject, but one of the things that I do is a lot of times I'll exposit a passage verse by verse and kind of walk through it. And as the Lord talks to us, may we be challenged and encouraged and strengthened in his word to step up and say, God, if you're speaking to me, I'm willing to listen. God, if you're encouraging me to do something, I'm willing to do it. And so this morning, as we talk about like our finances and we talk about our heart and our desire to, and the warnings, rather than to live in luxury, but to live as child of God, as different in love to other people. This verse right here, Micah 6:8, I think it goes right along with what we're talking about. What does the Lord require of you? The Lord wants you to be just. The Lord wants you to love mercy. When you see someone around you, be just. Be merciful. To love mercy so much that you want to show mercy to other people and to walk humbly with God. I have some reflection questions here for us. am I using my riches in a way that would glorify God and bless people? Am I using my riches, my food, my clothes, my house, my car? See, I say my, but really all those things belong to God, and he's entrusted them to me to use them for his glory. Do I hear the cries of the needy like God does? Are we willing to hear the cries of the needy? Are my resources being used to help those in need and advance God's kingdom, or are they primarily focused on my individual comfort and desires? It's a really good question for us to ponder today as we've looked at this passage, as we've talked about what God wants us to do. How can your spending or giving better align with God's values and priorities? I would encourage you to not just hear what I have to say, but go home and think about it. Talk to your spouse. If you're single, think about it. Pray about it. Ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? See, our lives are but a vapor, and our finances are too. They're here, and they're gone tomorrow. Some of us might get 30 years to live, 15, 10. Some of us might have 5 years left, 3, 1. What are we going to do? When I tie the passage in James chapter 4, right at the end, it says your life is a vapor. What are we going to do with our lives? What are we going to do with our finances to make an impact in something that will outlive us? Invest in something that God can use. Let's pray together. I'm going to have the music team come up. And this morning, we're going to sing the song, The Blessing, which we normally sing as we close our songs, our services, when we have communion together. Think about how the Lord blesses us. And as we're singing this song, think about, hey, how could I bless someone else? Even this week, Lord, like, how could I be a blessing to someone else? Let's pray. Dear Father, I just thank you for your word and the opportunities that we have to look at truth. We thank you for James that spoke these things to us. And we ask, Father, that you would help us to look at our hearts and minds and see what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.